In this week's parsha, we have multiple things going on. Number one, it's the last day of our zman, officially at least. Number two, Tazria. Number two, it's parsha Tazria. And number three is parsha Chodesh. Those are all three things that we have going on in this week's parsha. I want to start with two basic questions. One of them is the popular question going around by Max Fruchter has asked it, as well as a number of others have asked it, and that is, why is there a tumah at the end of childbirth? How come there is tumah? Not only that, but we're commanded to have children. You can imagine if we follow God's wishes, pruvu, we have children, it should result in greater kedusha. Usually tumah is the opposite of kedusha. It's the lack of God. So why is it that we have tumah following childbirth, which is a chiyuv that we're all obligated to do? Question number one. Question number two, it's found in the beginning of the parsha as well, in Perek Yud-Beis. Psukim Vav through Ches, it describes the korbanos that the woman brings. Again, another question which I've heard from Max as well as others is, why does a woman bring a korban chatas? I'm not getting to that right now, but the woman brings two korbanos. She brings a chatas and she brings an ola. When the Torah describes these two korbanos, it first mentions that she brings an ola, and then it mentions you bring a chatas, but the order is really reversed. Halacha really is we bring a chatas, then we bring the ola. So many ask, the Gemara in Zvachim brings it down as well, why is it that the Torah describes it as ola for chatas, when in reality we give the chatas before we give the ola? So again, the two questions we have one more time is, why is childbirth have with it tumah? It should have kedusha and tahara. And number two is, why does the Torah list the order reversed between when we really do as chatas and ola, and the Torah lists it first as ola and only afterwards as chatas? I'm going to start with that second question first. The Sefer Imre Baruch by Rav Baruch Simon, one of the Rosh Hashivas of YU, so he quotes a Sefer I never heard before I read it, inside Rav Baruch Simon's Sefer. Sefer called Ach Pri Tvua. That's the Sefer's name, is Ach Pri Tvua. In that Sefer over here, he says the following big chiddush. Is that every single time you have a relationship between two different things, people, etc., there are two parties involved in that relationship, and each party is trying to do something to the other one to connect with that other party. For example, imagine I buy a gift for my wife. I want to buy something that says, oh, it's her birthday. I want to take her out to her birthday. I won't take her to a baseball game, which I enjoy and she doesn't enjoy. Though my first date, I did do that. And it was a little rocky, though I enjoyed it, she enjoyed it much less. Usually when you're trying to make someone else feel good about themselves, you try to reach out to their box, not to your box. And therefore, relationships usually have people who reach out to the other party trying to make them happy with what they enjoy more in their life. An example of that is, and that's how you connect with them, an example is the Gemara in Brachos brings down that we wear tefillin and God wears tefillin. Our tefillin say in the praise of God, that Hashem is the only one. And Hashem's tefillin, whatever this means, we don't know what it means, the guy wears tefillin, God doesn't have a body even, whatever that means, but God's tefillin say about us, Mika Amcha Yisrael. Who's like the Jewish people? They're one of a kind. So every person is reaching out of their box to try to impress and share love about the other person with the world. That's how it works in general. The Ola, the Korban Ola, is we give completely a gift to God. So in our terms, as far as we're concerned, we put the Ola first. Because the Ola is us trying to reach out to God. It's a completely consumed. The Ola is entirely consumed, and therefore it's nothing for us. It's all about God. So in our perspective, we reach out of our box to God. We talk about the Ola first. But when it comes to the actual doing of the Korbanos, it's God doing the biggest favor for us. God's the one who decides where God is embracing us by giving us the Chatas. Why? Because the Chatas is a chance of a lifetime to return back to Him. And therefore, the Ola is our reach out to God. When we describe it in Torah, we discuss it first. And the Chatas is God reaching out to us, saying, you know, whatever you've done in your life, I forgive you for it. When we describe the actions are God-determined. The Pesukim are in our terminology. Ola comes first in the Pesukim. In reality, the Chatas comes first. Okay, I'll get back to that in a little bit, at the very end. But I want to move on to the next question. The next question we had was, why Tumah? And we're going to bring over here a few different Pshatim, and then we'll try to bring this down a little bit to our lives as well. The Kli Yakar, which I'll speak to Max again about this today, Kli Yakar points out and says that the whole idea of tumah in the world of childbirthing, of labor like we have today, all started from Chava, started from the woman. Because Chava committed a crime, it says now her labor will be one of great pain be one of great challenge, and including that is Tumah. Chava created the birthing system was going to be one that was not the way God had intended originally, before the Chait. And for that reason, whenever there is a birth in our world, automatically reminds us of the Chait of Chava and comes along with its Tumah, comes along with its sin and impurity. Not only that, but he even explains another interesting Chiddush. If you guys notice in the Parsha, we have a double layer of Tumah when you give birth to a girl. Usually the level of Tumah is 7 days for a woman has birth to a boy. And if it's birth to a girl, it's 14 days. Why? Because now she gave birth to another Chava. Chava, which created in the first place the Tumah of labor, the pain of labor, 7 days reminds us of Tumah. And when she gave birth to another girl, it reminds us more of Chava. So I know it sounds very sexist. Say again? There are 14 days of impurity for the girl when she bleeds. And the reason why, because it brings back the memories of Chava, of the sin that she started in the world, and for that reason we have Tumah at the time of labor reminding us of the Chait of Chava. That's a shot of the Kli Yakar. The Sefer Leilu Shabbat, written by Reb Zilberstein, has a different shot. He has two different shots. I'm going to say one right now, I'll say one in a minute from now. The first one he brings down is Tumah exists when we had Kedusha and we lost it. If you had something going that was great and then you fumbled the ball, then you get Tumah. If you never were great, if you were flatlined, there's no Tumah. Tumah is when there was Kedusha, now there's the absence of Kedusha. That's how Tumah begins. Where was the Kedusha originally? Kedusha originally was, there was a pregnancy in a woman's body. Two things are happening. There's a life right now that's building up into a woman, a life. There's life growing inside of her. That life means Shechina. In two ways, it's Shechina. Way number one, the Midrash brings down and tells us that what happens in the womb... There's Torah in the womb, right? There's a Midrash, the Malach comes along, there's Torah to the baby in the womb, whatever that means. There's a Kedusha, there's a Shechina resting in her. Number two, more of a, not mentioned the Seder, but more on a practical level. Whenever any one of you guys, when the right time comes, and you guys get married, and you have kids, and you walk in, and you have a, sonogram, and you watch as your wife, her stomach gets x-rayed, but sonogrammed, and you see on a screen the picture of your baby. And you watch it grow from a little ball of life to a heartbeat, to a recognizable baby, to hands, legs, limbs, intestines, everything. You watch there, your jaw drops. You are in awe of God's creation. Your mom's like, you're amazed by it. The fact that God made a body like ours, that, like a woman, that contains a baby that grows to us. It's unreal. It's impossible to miss out on the Shekhinah at that point in time. It's impossible. But then the baby's born. And then the Shekhinah that was resting in the woman, when we go to the sonogram business and you see everything going on, it's lost, it's done, it's alive. Not bad, it's alive. But it's no longer the woman. The woman went from a state of Kedusha, of resting with the Shekhinah, to a state of not Kedusha. There was no Shekhinah left. Though she's back to status quo, there's a Tumah involved because she was great at some point in time. Now, that being said, there's a danger. I was speaking to someone actually a few days ago of this concept. Is it worth it for us to try to reach out and reach high for Kedusha if we're afraid, if we feel that one day we're going to fall off and drop off again? Is it worth it or not? Then we'll be Tameh. Is it not better to never reach out of the box to avoid Tumah? Isn't that better? So over here we see it's not better. How do we know? It's because Baruch Hu gave you a tzivoy. Tzivoy he gave you was you have to have children. Why? Because that will raise your Kedusha. But I'll lose it one day. I'll lose it. There's a chance I don't raise the bar as high as it was. I may slack off. It's okay. You'll be Tamei then. But I never want you to be without that moment of Kedusha. I want you to understand what it means to be a Kadosh. I'd rather you go through a state of lack of Kedusha to even taste what it means to be with Shekhinah for a little bit. I want you to taste it. And I know God says it's a given. It would be unhealthy to be pregnant forever. You couldn't be. You blow up, your kid would grow too big in your stomach, you gotta take the kid out, there'll be Tumah. There will be a fall from your greatest high. Most people in the world do not die at the greatest high. They died at a height, hopefully towards the end of their life, but they probably had times when they went up and down a little bit more. It's worth striving for a heights, knowing you might fall even, knowing you might fall, because at least you get a taste of what it means to have a height like that. It's worth it. So you see from over this shot. But the Tumah becomes because a person lost the Shekhinah for a period of time. Okay. The Sforno has a very similar point. The Sforno brings down and says, why is there Tumah? Because when she begins to release the child is now born in the world, and now she's tummy, she's looking at her body much more. She's much more bodily focused. When she stops bleeding, you know, her body, etc., she loses, as a swarm, she loses focus of things that are outside material worlds. She starts to be much more material-based, watching her body more often. Tuma is when a person begins to focus on the body and lose sight of the neshama. That's what tuma is. Tuma is when there was ability to see in the world God, and you lost it. And says the Sforno, when a woman gives birth, it's only natural that she's going to end up looking at her body, focusing on her body, on the size of her body, on the bleeding of her body, etc., before she gets on the next stage. That's tuma. That's tuma. I'll get back to that point in a minute to try to bring it down to our world about the coming Bein HaZman, but I want to tell you, but first I do that, one more point. Say again, Leinu L'Shabeach. He brings down a fascinating shot. One that I think is very, very pertinent to all of us and something that we really can learn a lot out of. He says, a different answer he gave in the first one. He says, why is there tzoma? He says, the greatest gift in the world is a child. You are the greatest gift to your parents. The greatest gift. They would have done anything to have you. Anything. I tell you, someone who I'm personally, myself, my wife and I have had kids for many, many years. Not many, many. Many. 4.5 years we tried to get to have kids. We tried every single procedure. We paid lots of money to try to have a child. Nothing. Didn't work out. Whatever, God had different plans in mind for us. Baruch Hashem, we have, thank God, 6 children. They should live and be well. But it took its time. People will do a lot to have kids. They'll pay money. They'll do anything they can to create medically or whatever it is to put their body through crazy things in order to have children. The greatest gift of all. You do anything for it. And then the baby's born. And what happens? I was telling Ari just this morning, actually. My 2.5-year-old baby, daughter, you know, cried last night. She was crying. So, like, I'm in bed. I wake up. I'm like, ugh. Like, I don't want to get her. I don't want to get her. I'm so tired. And I get her, and I put her in my bed with me and my other son, who was in bed also with me. There was a lot of people in that bed last night. And I'm, like, so tired. My daughter's kicking me, and I'm like, ugh. So finally, like, I wait till I think she's sleeping. I put her back in her bed, and then, like, 5 minutes later, she starts calling me again. I don't want to get her. The cry is, like, a painful thing. It's 3 a.m. I'm in pain. That cry is the most beautiful sound of a parent. The most beautiful sound. That means you have a living being that came from you. But you forgot. Because 2.5 years ago, you would have done anything for that cry. Anything. The greatest sound at birth is when the baby first cries. Because until then, you don't know. Is it going to live? Is it not going to live? But that cry, and I'm not going to say, I don't mean this. That cry gets annoying. I don't mean that when I say that word. But it gets not happy. You're not happy to hear it when you get older. You forgot about the greatest gift that you had in the world was your child. Later on, it becomes a frustration. You wake up in the middle of the night, ugh, frustrating. But it's God's gift to you. It's the best gift in the world, but you forgot about it. That's tumah. You just basically looked at God for the greatest gift. You begged Him for it, and now you're like, why? Ah, sleep through. You're killing me. That's tumah. You're looking at the most beautiful thing in the world, and you look at it with frustration. Lahavdil. Lahavdil. Imagine the following scene. It's hard to imagine. It's the end of a long zaman. The Gemara, you open up. You know, the words are looking at you, and you're like, ugh, why? So much. We've had such a long zaman. It's so difficult. It was the greatest gift to the Jewish people. It was the gift where God says that I love you. I'm giving you a piece of me. It's a piece of me. You look at it, you're like, oh, I guess thanks. Do I have to take it? Is there a return policy here? What can I get instead? That's the greatest slap in the face. It's the greatest gift in the world that God is saying, take me with you. Here's a piece of me. For us, it's like a child. For anyone in the world, it's like a child. For us, it's the Torah. To look at it and be frustrated with it, that's tumah. I read a story, and Leinu L'Shabeach from Zilberstein, again, is all about stories. He still tells a story. There was one time there was a person who was doing a surgery on someone who was blind to give him sight again. And he asked the person was a Jew, it was in Israel, and he was giving surgery on someone who was a practicing Jew. The person who gave surgery was not a practicing Jew, the person who was giving surgery to was a practicing Jew. He said to him, what's the first thing that you want to see when you can see, finally? What's the first thing you want to see? So he said to him, I want to see Sittis. So what? Sittis? Why? So he said, because Sittis is, when I see Sittis, I remember God again. I want to be makir tov to the Ribbono Shel Olam for giving me sight back. I'm going to be makir tov. So I'm going to run. The first thing I do, I'm going to say, I want someone to show me Sittis. Hakar Satov. He wrote there and he said, I don't understand. Explain to me, why is it that you and I, who should have even more Hakar Satov to God, you know why? Because we can see. We always could see. And you don't run to see tzitzis every day to be makir tov HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Not running to see that? A person who lost the gift of sight or never had it. So he would run to be makir tov HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me see something. Let me see you. Let me see tzitzis. And you and I, who Chazdei Hashem never suffered like that. We don't even think to be makir tov with our eyesight. We don't even think about it. Last point, Rav Hirsch, on this parsha has a fascinating shot which is very relevant to the point I read earlier and also the point which I think is most important to take back with you to America, for those of you who are going back. He says, Tumah comes to be when you lose control of your body. Your job in the world is to harness your body. It's your job. You have a neshama, you have a body, you're supposed to choose well between those two. Sometimes the body acts out and you can't stop it. For example, every tumah we have, a nida, she doesn't want herself to bleed. She has no choice. The body bleeds. A zav, it's an unnatural discharge that comes from the body. It's not what you want to. You couldn't control yourself. Even a labor, the body has a natural course and it delivers child. Those are when the body takes control and you lose your free choice over body. Tahara is all about you have the opportunity to harness your body and to control your body, and sometimes the body fights back and you can't control it. That makes you tameh. That makes you not serve the purpose of the world. People who are leaving Eretz Yisrael now, you're leaving. You go back to a world which is full of both tumah and tahara. Opportunities to control yourself. Opportunities to harness your body. To bring back the kedusha that you had here working on yourself into another world. But those of you who say to me, or yourselves, back to the person that I was beforehand, and going back to the life I had beforehand, that means that you are going back to a life when your body controls you and not vice versa. That means you're going back to a world that God did not create you for. He created you for Tara. He created you to learn how to control. And instead you opt to be in a world when you give up control. It makes no sense. It's the greatest form of Tumah. And to highlight that point, Andrew's really showed me last night an article. Chavetz Chaim points out a beautiful pshat based on what I just said to you just now. Chavetz Chaim says that if you find, look throughout history in general, you'll find many people who pretend they were kings. Thought they were kings. They thought they were gods. Paro said he was a god. But he himself knew he wasn't a god. You know, how do you know he wasn't a god? How did Paro know he wasn't a god? Went to the bathroom, went to the bathroom. God put in the world a sign that even people who want to be arrogant know they're not gods. You should know you're not a god. So God puts in our life when our bathroom controls us. When our body controls us. So the question was asked, and how come we have so many bathroom trips a day? Enough to one a week, one a month. Multiple ones daily? So he says it must be that you and I need reminders regularly that we're not gods. You have to be reminded regularly that your body is in a fight with your neshama. Regularly. You're in a fight, you're in a battle. You're supposed to be, you're not a god. Your job is to control and harness your body. That's your job. Tumah is when your body loses control and you can't stop it. Childbirthing, for example. Or any other desire that you may have that your body wins out in your soul. When you shouldn't do it and you know you shouldn't do it and you can't control yourself, you are the definition of tumah. And to go, and Rabbi Emily spoke about it on Tuesday, and to plan on being involved in things that are mamish full of tumah, that's part of your bein hazman and plans. Then what did you get? What are you doing here? What was it all for? God sends us reminders about this all the time, whether it be bathroom visits or whatever it may be. Do not forget that. Baruch Simon ends off, and I'll end off as well. He points out, why do we call Pesach Pesach? If you look in the Torah, it's called Chag HaMatzos. It's called Chag HaMatzos, not called Pesach. We call it Pesach. The reason why is what I said earlier on. God is celebrating us and we celebrate God. We celebrate God because Pesach, because He was Pasach on our homes. He saved our lives. Why want to talk about God in terms of what I love about God? He saved me. Pesach. But God loves you too. God loves you. You know why? Because He is what we call Chag HaMatzos. Because you and I were slaves in Egypt and we left to follow a God. We left behind who knows what to go to a world we didn't know anything about. We took a chance. We trusted. We ate bad bread because we didn't lies, because we trusted God in the end would have a plan for us in mind. And God says, that's what I call the holiday. To me, it's called Chag HaMatzos. You can call it Pesach if you want, but I call it Chag HaMatzos. Because to me, I'm celebrating you, and you can celebrate me by calling it Pesach also. Parsha Chodesh, Elliot said earlier on, Parsha Chodesh is right now. What is it now? Why don't we do the first Chodesh of the year? Tishrei. It's true, we have to get ready for Pesach. Why is it now? So he points out it's right now, because right now is the time when we were taken and we were changed from everyone else in the world. This was the month when we weren't just humans, we were Jews. When you learn what it means to be Tuma or Tara, what it means to be, have a Kaddosh body and the lack thereof. With all the shmoozes that you hear from Iram and whoever else may give shmoozes about these topics, the bottom line is right now you have the chance to show where your heart is. Do you want to be like every person in the world who acts on their body? You can. You have free choice. It's not like a bathroom. You can choose. You can choose to become Tame. But could you imagine how painful that choice is to God? Could you imagine the pain in his heart? I created a person with the ability to become Torah. I gave him a gift. Rosh Chodesh was the first mitzvah we got as Jewish people. I gave him a gift. And he opts to take the gift and return it, a return policy, to be an animal. The pain involved in that. That's a pshat in Tumah. We should merit, number one, to understand that when it comes to us and God, our job is to do things for God, not for us. For God. And he for us. He gives you everything. He gives you life. He gives you eyes. He gives you hearing. He gives you everything. Don't wait to have someone lose it, God forbid, till you appreciate it. Don't wait. Remember, whenever you have a moment, you go to the bathroom, that I'm not in control of my own body even. But I should be in other areas. And in that level, in that way, we should be zocha to have a ben hazmanim full of kedusha and tara, where we come back after a holiday of Pesach, able to serve the last few weeks we have together, just to be able to go next level to next level. Have a good Shabbos.